like a lot of us around here, Joseph Lindsley hit the road from his news bunker there in Lviv, so we're anxious to check in. And a good afternoon in Lviv and a good morning from Chicago. Hi, Joseph.
Bob, good afternoon to you. Good morning. And I'm actually not in Lviv today. I'm in the city of Dnipro, a city before the war of about 1 million people. It was actually founded in 1776, and it's about 600 miles from Lviv and very close to the major city that's closest to the eastern front and the southern fronts of Ukraine. And we, you know, this city was it was hit last Friday. There's a lot of Ukrainian aerospace industry here. They make missiles here. So it is a target. And but I got to say, my first time in the city, it's a leafy, beautiful city. There's a mixture of old architecture and a lot of sleek, new, modern buildings. And many people speak Russian here. But in the beginning of the war, they had just finished a brand new airport, totally destroyed in March. And so you see here once again a city that was really thriving, and now it meets with this drama of the war. But right now I'm speaking to you from a cafe, and it's during an air alarm at the moment. But people keep going.
That's unbelievable. So you're under an alarm right now, and it has to be a little depressing then, Joseph, for you to see what was once a beautiful area destroyed.
Yeah, well, so this city, I mean, it has not had a lot of attacks in this city, and so you don't see damage walking around the city, but it does feel under threat. And I guess two things I want to tell your listeners about. One was the trip here, and two was what it was like here last night. Because they completely black out the city. And I was talking with a retired Ukrainian general, and also a guy who, he and his wife came from Severodonetsk, which is a city right now that the Russians are concentrating all their resources, it seems, to take. And we were sitting on a balcony at the hotel overlooking the completely darkened metropolis. And Dnipro is a city that has skyscrapers. Everything was pitch black, dark. You could see the stars like you were in the countryside. And the guy from Severodonetsk, I was telling him that, you know, I've been speaking, for example, to your listeners about this city, but I had never met someone from there. And he went back last week to help some more people evacuate because it's a very dire situation. I said, what was it like when you went home to your city, Severodonetsk? He said, everything is already gone. What can I say? He said, there's only one word that came to his mind. And the word is Jacques, which means horror, absolute horror. And everyone had the general and the guy from Severodonetsk and I, after this guy said those words, we stood there in silence. We were drinking the beers that the general had given us, and we stood there in silence overlooking the darkened city of Dnipro, and you really feel the weight of this war on people.
We need to hear your firsthand reports, because unfortunately we are starting to get numb because of other news and the mass shooting in Texas. Ukraine has kind of taken a back seat to things, and I know we've talked about that before. We don't want that to happen. Joseph, did you say you're 600 miles from your home base there in Lviv? You drove 600 miles through the country. Wasn't that a little dangerous?
I mean, you know, there were several alarms as we drove through the country. I had my translator, also a friend, and our driver. But there's lots of people moving around. And it was, you know, Ukraine is so incredibly verdantly green. I mean, you see why it is the breadbasket of Europe. And these beautiful fields of green, shades of green I'd never seen before in my life, not even in Ireland. And so it's this vast, beautiful, plentiful country. And, you know, they grow food here that people need in Africa and around the world. And the Russians are preventing this. And I will say, at one point we were turned off on a detour, but you know, every once in a while there are block posts or checkpoints, which is a reminder that, you know, even this beautiful country, it's wartime. And it was so hard for me comparing that to my 2 years I spent in Ukraine to see, you know, everything has changed. Mm-hmm. At one point we had to turn on a dirt road, kind of in the mud. And you had everything from BMWs to trucks and people carrying supplies on this dirt road in the woods. And then we realized why. We looked to our left and we saw that the main road had been attacked and it was unusable and unpassable. But still, they've carved out a path and people keep going. There's an amazing energy. There were very long lines for gas. And thanks to some of your listeners and some other supporters, we were well stocked with fuel from Poland. So it's a difficult and absolutely sad situation. I just visited right before I hopped on to speak to you all. I was at and I don't pronounce this word very correctly, I'm sorry, a prosthetic plant where they are preparing for an influx of people that have lost arms and legs. It takes about 3 to 4 months of rehab before you're ready to put on your new leg. And so we were visiting the production facility, and you know, and even for children, and they're preparing prosthetics for children, and it's really painful to see. And as soon as I finish this interview, this conversation, I'm going to one of the it's the biggest hospital in eastern Ukraine, and so we'll see, you know, how the damage that has been done.
And Joseph, did you decide to take this trip for reasons other than just reporting?
Yes, we have a lot of supplies, and we are delivering everything from helmets and bulletproof vests, walkie-talkies. And so we're delivering that to several different cities in Ukraine. And usually, you know, we have a team with our Ukrainian Freedom News team, people that do this pretty often. But I needed to go and to see the reality outside of Lviv and in other places in this country. And it's, I heard last night in the hotel restaurant, we arrived late and they prepared a meal for us. And there was a couple talking, and that conversation could have been a movie. They were just talking about how their lives have changed and how difficult everything is, and still trying to be normal in some sense. And it hit home even more here how awful this is, and how people come together to fix some problems. Like I met the doctors and the people making the limbs for people, for those who've been wounded. And it's great to see that, but then you see, you know, none of this had to happen, right? You know, all because of Putin's desires to destroy the freedom of this country. And, you know, another thing, in Dnipro, Bob, I see Orthodox Jews walking down the street. You know, Putin says he's trying to denazify Ukraine. It's just a completely ridiculous narrative he has, and it's something awful. That's it. That's where we are.
So sad. Joseph, we so appreciate your firsthand accounts. Hard to believe Saturday marked 100 days since Russia first invaded Ukraine. Safe travels, my friend, and we will catch up with you tomorrow morning.
Great. Thank you, Bob.